Tonight we're turning to 2 Kings chapter 2 for a Bible reading. 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll begin at the verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." He said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, for so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, "My father, my father, chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. We'll end our reading at the end of verse 12. Let's briefly pray. Our loving Father, we thank thee, O God, that we're found again around thy word at the end of another year. We pray, O God, that we'll ever be found as students at thy feet. We pray, O God, that you'll come and grant to us a double portion, the infilling of thy spirit with wisdom and power, that we might know how to preach thy word, rightly divide thy word. Grant, O God, thy blessing, and every listening heart, and every receptive will. We pray that there might be a word in season. Come, Lord, and aid us, we pray. And grant, O God, a shutting in to God, and a divine blessing upon the preached word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. It has been said that the prophet Elijah came onto the stage of history like a whirlwind, and left the stage of history in a whirlwind. The prophet of fire certainly proved God in his life. He had seen the heavens shut up for 3.5 years, so that over that period no rain fell upon the earth. He had seen God providing for him by the ravens at Cherith's brook, and the never-failing barrel of meal and oil at Zarephath. He had seen the raising of the widow's son, the fire of God consuming the water-soaked sacrifice on Carmel's mountain. But as we enter 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah's race on earth had entered the final home straight, with the finishing line in sight, one of the greatest Old Testament giants of the faith. However, before he was to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah had one last journey to take. That journey involved God's man visiting the sons of the prophets and the schools of the prophets in Bethel and Jericho, and making his way eventually to the River Jordan. That final journey, Elijah did not take alone. For we read in 2 Kings chapter 2 that Elisha, whom Elijah had anointed to be prophet in his room instead, in 1 Kings chapter 19, accompanied Elijah on this final journey. That journey started at Gilgal. Gilgal was the place where the reproach was rolled away from the children of Israel, for it was there that the male children born in the wilderness were circumcised, a practice that had fallen by the wayside during those 40 years of wanderings. These two men then made their way from Gilgal to Bethel, and then from Bethel to Jericho. Having tried to convince Elisha to remain at Bethel, Elijah at Jericho again tries to dissuade Elisha from going on any further with him. We read in verse 6, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." As I thought about this watch night service, this passage of Scripture came before my mind, especially a five-worded phrase that we find at the end of verse 6. "And they too went on." "And they too went on." This is not the motto text for 2015 for this congregation. We plan to preach on that on the Lord's Day. But what we have before us this evening in these five words, I believe, is the desire of God for all of God's people in 2015. Quite simply, it is God's desire that you and I go on with Him. And they too went on. Regardless of what your spiritual progress has been in 2014, whether it be an ongoing walk with God or whether there has been a lack of progress, God wants you this year, 2015, that we will soon enter into. He wants you this year to go on with Him. And so my title for this message, the final message of 2014, the first message of 2015, my message title is simply, "And they too went on." And they too went on. I want you to notice in the first instance, they too went on despite the loneliness of the way. The two went on despite the loneliness of the way. Notice what our text says. Our text says that they too went on. I read of no crowd here. I read of no throng, no group of enthusiastic men and women are spoken of here when it comes to this going on. Rather, we read that just two lone figures in the person of Elijah and Elisha make their way from Jordan or from Jericho to Jordan and ultimately to the place of God's blessing. Now, it would be true to say that others had the opportunity to join these two men on this road to Jordan. Although, it seems to be that those men had gone far enough with God. You see, those sons of the prophets that we read off throughout this chapter, they had enrolled, as we would say, the local Bible college in Bethel and in Jericho. It seems to be that these men were content to go so far with God, but no further. For them, second mile Christianity was a step too far for them. However, for Elijah and Elisha, they wear off a different spirit. You see, each man saw a greater prize that lay up ahead for them. For Elijah, it was heaven's rest that awaited him beyond the River Jordan. And for Elisha, the prophet, it would be a double portion of Elijah's spirit that rested and waited for him beyond that shimmering river. Because these men were of a different spirit, because they were of a heavenly spirit, this lack of companionship on the road to Jordan did not deter these men from going on. And so our text just says, "And they too went on." These two were not the only pair who walked this lonely road with God in the Scriptures. I'm thinking about a father and of a son that made their way to Mount Moriah. Though accompanied on that journey with two servants, they leave those servants behind to mind the ass while they go to the mountain to worship God. It was only two lone figures that climbed Mount Moriah that day in Genesis chapter 22 in obedience to God's will. The way was lonely, but they too went on. I'm thinking about a woman and her daughter-in-law as they journeyed back to Bethlehem. Naomi and Ruth are their names. They were accompanied for a while with Orpha, the other daughter-in-law to Naomi, but the price was too high for that woman. The road was too difficult for Orpha. The Jordan had been swelling its banks because it was a time of harvest that they came back to Bethlehem. And so with the difficulties in the road in front of her, because of that, Orpha decided to turn back and serve her own gods. But Naomi and Ruth, they too went on. Thinking about two members of the Jewish Sanhedrin that went and begged the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Pilate. It was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that stepped out of the crowd and identified themselves with the crucified one. Lonely was their path that night, and yet they too still went on. Those two went on. I have found in my short Christian life that if you want to go on with God, at times that road is a very lonely road. You must not wait for the crowd. You must not wait for the crowd to pursue after God before you follow after Him. We must have the attitude of the chorus writer who penned the words, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." And so in the year that lies before you, child of God, don't wait for your friend. Don't be waiting for your friend to go to the midweek prayer meeting. But you strike out on your own. Make it your practice to be there Wednesday night after Wednesday night. Don't consider what others do on a Sunday afternoon, but you come. Come and join the band of open air members and to present Christ to this needy town and village. Don't you worry about what your family members say and think about you. You just come that little bit earlier before the Sunday services and slip into the prayer meetings. You see, the road to the place of blessing is always a lonely road. And yet, He has promised to be with us, the Savior. You see, in order that you might be conformed to God's image, to the image of God's dear Son, God will take you through the same experiences as the Lord Jesus Christ went through. And that will include times of loneliness. Read of the Savior in Matthew chapter 26 and the verse 56. "Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled." The Savior knew what it was to be lonely, and yet He still went on. They too went on. Our Savior went on, though lonely His road. He walked that lonely pathway, so why not you and me? They too went on despite the loneliness of the way. But there's another thing that I want you to notice from our text. It is that they too went on despite the discouragement of others. They too went on despite the discouragement of others. As Elijah and Elisha made their way to the River Jordan, they had stopped off at the school of the prophets in Bethel. And it was whilst they were there that the sons of the prophets, they made and they came to Elisha and they said these words. "Knowest thou not," verse 3, "that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" In other words, what these men were saying was, "Elisha, do you not realize that you're following after yesterday's man? By the end of the day, before the sun sets, this man, Elijah, he's going to be gone. So what's the point in you, Elisha, wasting your time and wasting your energy following after yesterday's man? Stay with us. Take up residence here in the schools of the prophets in Bethel." No point in wasting your energy or your effort in going all the way to Jordan. No, stay along with us. Elisha then comes to the schools of the prophets there in Jericho. And they say the exact same words as the men at the school in Bethel. Knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? To which Elisha replies, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. They discouraged him from going on. And on top of their discouragement, I think Elijah tries to persuade Elisha to remain at Bethel and Jericho. And yet Elisha, on both occasions, he responds with these words of resolve. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. With each rebuff, there came new resolve. With each discouragement, there came fresh determination on Elisha's part. So determined was he to receive the blessing that he longed for, a double portion of God's Spirit. And so they too went on, despite the discouragement from others. Let me make two points of personal application before we go on. Firstly, if you're a child of God, you must never involve yourself in the discouraging of those who are seeking to go on with God. What would have ever become of Paul if it wasn't for Barnabas, who encouraged him and saw him integrated into the church fellowship there at Jerusalem? So let me ask you, child of God, if you look at a young person, an older person who desires to go on with God, do you fuel the fire? Fire within their souls, or do you quench the fire? Let me ask you, are you the person that pours on the oil of encouragement, or do you throw on the water of discouragement? See, we need to have the same spirit as Jonathan had with regard to David in 1 Samuel 23 in the verse 16, with respect to our brothers and sisters in Christ, because there we read that Jonathan went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And that's my prayer, that as the minister of this congregation, that I will strengthen your hand in God. So let me ask you, have you strengthened your brother's hand in God in 2014? Have you strengthened your sister's hand in God, or have you been the cause of them weakening their hands in God? The second point of personal application is this. Whatever discouragement you face from others this year, even those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord and go on with God. Whatever discouragement you face, even from God's professing people, whatever that discouragement is, learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord and go on with God. Believer, offenses will come this year. Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Luke 17, verse 1, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. However, those offenses should not be the means of causing you to leave your walk off with God. Those discouragements and offenses should not halt your pursuit after God. You're going on with God in 2015. Sad to say, many of God's people, because of some discouragement that has come across the road in life, they've got so discouraged that now they're no longer going on with God. Would that not be our case? You see, it would have been very easy here for Elisha throw in the towel because of the discouragements that he received from these prophets, and yet he resolved that whatever the discouragements would be, he was still going to go on with God. And that's why we read here in verse 6, and they too went on. They trust that if you find yourself discouraged this year, whether it be through the words or through the actions of some other person, I trust that they'll be able to say of you at the end of next year, concerning you and your God, they too went on. Child of God, keep on going on, despite the discouragement from others. Note with me in the third instance that Elijah and Elisha, they too went on despite the response of others. Despite the response of others. Notice what it says in verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Note that these 50 sons of the prophets, they went. It tells us that. The 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. But I want you to notice that they went so far and no further. Because it says that they went and they stood to view afar off. In other words, these men were quite happy for another individual to pay the price. But they themselves were unwilling to go through with God and to receive the blessing of God in their individual lives. In other words, they became spectators instead of being participators. And how many Christians are like these 50 sons of the prophets? They go so far in their Christian walk. They come to church twice on a Sunday. They throw a little bit of money into the offering plate. They listen to the word respectively as the word is preached. But that's as far as they go. Because whilst others make the effort to come to the prayer meeting, you know what they do? They stand and view afar off. While others are found in the house of God on a Sunday evening, such individuals, they just stand to view afar off. While others rush home on a Friday night, get a quick bite to eat, and get onto a minibus in order to bring in the children for the children's meeting. Do you know what they do? They just stand to view afar off. While others give sacrificially to the work of God by their tithes and by their offerings, they just stand to view afar off. While others head out to the open air and stand behind a microphone and support the preacher as he preaches the gospel, they just stand to view afar off. While opportunity is given to do door-to-door outreach, they sit at home and they just stand to view afar off. Now let me ask you, child of God, we're coming now to the end of an old year, 2014. What category of Christian have you been in 2014? Have you went on like Elisha and Elijah? Or have you stood to view afar off? But a more important question than that question is this question. In 2015, what type of Christian, by God's grace, are you going to be? Are you going to go on? Or are you going to stand and view afar off? Don't respond like these 50 men. By going so far, standing on the sidelines and watching others go on with God. But make it your prayer this year, God, regardless of the response of others, I'm going to go on with Thee by Your grace. Abandon yourself recklessly to God's will and allow Him to lead and guide you in the year that lies ahead. There is one final point to note from the passage. And they too went on despite the difficulties that lay ahead. And they too went on despite the difficulties that lay ahead. In verse 6, Elijah did not hide from Elisha that Jordan's swelling river was going to be their next stop on this final journey. Verse 6 it says, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." I'm sure Elisha thought about that river, the river that lay ahead of them. I'm sure he thought about the difficulties and the dangers that were involved in the crossing of the river Jordan. And yet with steadfast resolve, he said to Elijah, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." I want you to see that despite the impending difficulties, Elijah and Elisha still went on. Despite the difficulties. No difficulties in the Christian life, they frequently suggest our turning back. As F.B. Meyer put it, if we comply to such an inclination of turning back, we will miss the radiant vision and the mighty endowment. And so he said, let us dare to persevere with undeviating, unswerving faith till we are clothed in mighty and in living power. You know, folks, the list of difficulties in our mind that we could imagine that would lie ahead of us if we became a Christian or if we continued to go on with God, those lists of difficulties are endless. Yet we must not allow difficulties to hinder us going on with God in this new year. Do you know, it's very interesting to notice something. It's interesting to notice that the difficulties in Elisha's mind, they never materialized. They never materialized. Because whenever they came to the River Jordan, we read in the verse number 8 that Elijah takes his mantle, he wraps it together, he smites the rivers, they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. You see those difficulties? As our brother Colin said tonight, as he sat in that plane for an hour, worrying about what would happen whenever he entered Vietnam, do you know what? Those difficulties, they never materialize. And oft times, God's people, they worry. Can I abandon myself to God's will? Can I go on with God? What will the difficulties be in my home? Maybe tonight you're thinking, could I ever be a Christian? What about my family? What about those that I know? What about my friends? And these difficulties that we all have in our minds. And yet, folks, God will go before, and those difficulties may never materialize. And if they do, and if God wants us to go through difficult times, do you know what, folks? He'll give us the grace. And he'll give us the help. And he'll be with us in those difficult times. And so despite the loneliness of the way, despite the discouragement of others, despite the response of others, despite the difficulties that lay ahead, we read in the verse number 6, and they too went on. But you know, folks, there's something that's very encouraging. Because whenever they came to Jordan and they crossed Jordan, there's an interesting phrase in the verse number 11. Because it says, and it came to pass as they still went on. As they still went on. You know, for some people in this meeting, you have been going on for many years. You've been going on with God for many, many years. Your life, your faith, it is an inspiration to us. We're of a younger generation. That tonight finds you having now left 2014 and having entered into 2015. It is an inspiration to us that you're still going on. But can I say to you, no matter how long you've been on the road, now is no time for you to slacken your walk. Regardless of how many years you've been saved, in 2015, God would have you to still go on. It is my prayer that whenever we congregate in the will of God at our next Watch Night service, at the end of 2015, that it would be said of me, and it would be said of you, with regard to your walk with God, that despite the loneliness of the way, and despite the discouragements that we face and will face, and that despite the response of what others do, and that despite the difficulties that we'll face, that they too still went on. And just like Elijah, he was found still going on, and he was taken up to heaven. May God find us when He comes or calls, still going on. And so it says, and they too went on. I wonder, have you started on the journey? No better night than this night. No better meeting than this meeting to start for heaven and to start for hope. 2014, many regrets, many sins, many times you've rejected the Savior. But He calls again. And He wants to walk with you. And He will walk with you if you put your trust and your faith in Him. So why not tonight start on this road? And He'll go with you. And He'll take you through life's journey, through the river of death, which is Jordan's river. And He'll bring you into the land that is fairer than they. And they too went on. May God bless these considerations to our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. We'll sing no closing hymn. Or can I say that we're here to help you, regardless of the lateness of the hour. We're here to help you tonight, encourage you to Christ. Make this the night, the 1st of January. Make it the night of your salvation, the night of your restoration. Come to the Savior. O God, our loving Father, we thank Thee. O God, for these champions of the faith. We rejoice that these things are written for our learning. We realize, O God, that the road can be lonely, can be difficult, it can be discouraging. O God, there are dangers that lie ahead. And yet we thank Thee, O God, that You've promised to be with us every step. And so we place this year into Your hand. We pray that come what may, we'll trust Thee. And we pray, O God, that we'll rest in Thy sovereignty. And that, Father, You'll keep us going on with Thee until the day You come or call. Bless all those who have gathered with us. We pray that this year will be a year that Thy work will go on, fast on, because God has come and God has visited his people. Answer prayer and take us safely home. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.